your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor more ashamed of being heard than when you sang the songs of Satan. We are so often concerned about the wrong things, aren't we? What will someone think of my voice? Yikes. So last week, I want to just take a few moments to review this, just this short Christmas series that I began last week. Show that first slide, Daniel, and I'm not going to go back and tell you the story behind the mount on Bali that blew here recently and wrecked somebody's wedding plans, several people. But here's the Proverbs 16:9. We can make our plans, but let God determine your steps. That's a little bit of a different version than probably you've seen before. That's the PDV version. It's the Pastor Dave version. So far, I've only got a few verses in my... I think the NIV says, we make our plans, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. But mine is more of an exhortation, but let God, we make our plans all the time, but purpose to let God determine your steps. Amen? So, as I started last week, we talked about we make our plans, but God often modifies. We looked at Joseph and his response when he faced major change of plans. Yes, major change of plans. And considered his example, how he responded rightly when he discovered the fact that his betrothed was pregnant. And his response was he considered some things. He considered these things. We looked at the fact that he listened for the voice of God. Now we don't have to, in this day, we don't have to wait for an angel. We have the Word of God. And so when things change drastically or even just a little bit, and it's kind of like, you know, what's going on? The Bible really is a good source to consider. Yes? He considered, you know, it's even though it wasn't quite what he had planned, what Joseph had planned, but his response was, but your plan, your will be done. And even though he didn't understand, that's not really a prerequisite that we always understand exactly what God has in mind. But our response is obedience. And Joseph chose to have in mind what God had in mind and really demonstrated that you can turn, oh God, broken plans into an amazing end. And that's the promise to us if we give God a chance. Broken plans can have an amazing end. I just like that. So we all experience, anyone not experience change of plans? It's how often. But we all have unmet expectations. heard a definition once, and the expectations is the fruit of disappointment. Or maybe it's the fruit of disappointment is unmet expectations. Anyhow, we experience unmet expectations, we experience disappointment. Yes? And so whether it's in all aspects of life, whether it's in a job, even our marriage, or our family, or our health, or our finances, didn't expect that. Yeah, all and the list goes on and on. So when you make your plans, will you let God determine your steps? That was the message. And we looked at that verse out of Jeremiah 29. Yeah, I'm still reviewing, by the way. We'll get to today's message in a moment. But that this verse out of Jeremiah 29, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, and to give you what? An expected end. I'll say it right now. At the end, I'll use this verse again, but I've got another PDV version. To give you a God expected end. God has a way of tying up loose ends. Like no one else. Yeah, let me just give you three examples. Joseph, David, and Jesus. Joseph was given a dream, but he became a slave, even became a convict. But God's expected end, a ruler. David, he was a shepherd, received an anointing, faced a giant, became a fugitive. All the while he was anointed as king, but God's expected end, he did become king. And Jesus, though God, became a baby, a man, humbling in and of itself, like we could never even comprehend how humbling that is. He was rejected, then crucified, but God's expected end? The resurrection. Not just a Savior, a Savior for all of mankind. Yes? So, and God still does the same with each of us. Not maybe in such dramatic fashion, but often just as in same dramatic fashion. And God's expected end for each of us is that we become, in essence, faith-filled folk. And that's really what God is expecting from us, is that we would become people full of faith and take Him at His word and receive the expected end. This morning, I want to look at two other people's response to change of plans. We'll look at Zechariah and Mary. Now, I know that Zechariah wasn't married to Mary. It's Zechariah and Elizabeth, right? But I want to look at Zechariah's response to a change of plans, and I want us to look at Mary's response. And I'm going to do a little comparison. Both, perhaps most of you or many of you would know this, the story that both of them were visited by an angel, his name, Gabriel. Both received very, very similar prophecies, did they not? And both respond in seemingly similar fashion. And yet, we're really miles apart. So let me read. I'm just going to kind of jump in without reading the whole story. There's like 70-some verses in Luke chapter 1. We're not going to read all of them this morning, just a few selected. But just to remind you, Zechariah, he's a priest, and he's been given a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to represent the priesthood by going into not the Holy of Holies, but into the holy place and offer sacrifices and burn incense before God. And so let me just jump in. He's in there. He's in the holy place. And this is beginning in verse 11 of Luke chapter 1. And there appeared to Zechariah, while he's in the holy place, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah's response, he was troubled. You know, what is going on? When he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." So now let's fast forward. And instead of being, so the temple there is in Jerusalem. That's where Zechariah is encountered by Gabriel. Let's fast forward 6 months about and go up to Galilee, about 100 miles north, Nazareth, the town of Nazareth. And Gabriel came to Mary and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." So now let's go back. And so we've just seen Gabriel visiting both Zechariah and then Mary. Let's go back and hear Zechariah's response to Gabriel's prophecy. We're going back to the 18th verse now of Luke chapter 1. "And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years.'" And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." Which will be fulfilled in their time. Let's say that phrase together. Which will be fulfilled in their time. Their time, or shall we say, God's time. That's the rub, isn't it? Well, one of them. Now let's hear Mary's response. "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her and said, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, he says it right out, doesn't he? has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Who was called barren. Who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. That'd be worth repeating, wouldn't it? Say that with me. For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing. Not even in God's vocabulary, is it? Impossible. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me." I like the King James. "Be it unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So the hint, if you were following along, you would have seen that there's some amazing repetitiveness in both encounters. Both are troubled when the angel Gabriel approaches them. Both are reassured by Gabriel, saying, what did he say to reassure? Do not be afraid. Both are given the name of the coming child, John, Jesus. And Gabriel says of both children, what? He will be great. And the work of the Holy Spirit is referenced to both. Isn't that interesting? And both Zechariah and Mary respond with a question. We'll look at that in a little closer in just a second. But I also want to. They also both respond with what is termed a canticle or a magnificat, which is just a Latin term for a song of praise, a prophecy. And so both Zechariah and Mary, Zechariah's is only after he was able to speak, of course, and sing, but Mary's was immediately. I'm going to just give you, it's quite lengthy in both, and I won't sing them to you, but you're welcome. But here's just a couple of lines here's from Zechariah's. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. And then here's a line or two out of Mary's. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he who is mighty has done great things, and holy is his name. Go back to the questions that they responded to Gabriel. Zechariah's question was, "How shall I know this?" And I'll just say it right out. His response, the difference between Zechariah's response and Mary's response are night and day, even though there's some similarities, seemingly similar. But Zechariah's response was, "How shall I know this?" It's as though he's saying, "According to what sign, or how can I be certain?" That's the flavor. Prove it to me. Show me. And Mary's response is with, instead of with doubt, it's really with faith. It's faith-filled. Her response is, how will I know this since I'm a virgin? I don't understand how that's even possible. And so it's not so much, how can I know? Rather, I am without words. I'm perplexed as to how it will happen. And then further, I like, you know, Gabriel's crystal clear explanation how that's going to happen. Don't you love that? And by the way, Mary, nothing is impossible with God. And then her response to that was what? Let it be. Let it be unto me according to your word. So, yes, it's a subtle difference, and there might even be cause for, like, wait a second, you know, coming to Zechariah's defense. Wait a second. You know, he's asking perhaps the same thing. I'm an old guy, and my wife is well advanced in years. But the biggest clue is that we have Gabriel's response to both of them. And Gabriel's response to Zechariah was night and day in comparison to his response to Mary. Gabriel's response to Zechariah is really a rebuke of his doubt. He won't be able to speak until John's birth. Whereas, even though Gabriel doesn't give strong positive affirmation to Mary, I mean, he does, you know, tell her, you know, what's going to happen. But Elizabeth's response to Mary, you know, is proclaiming her faith. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what the Lord was spoken to her from the Lord. That's her exact words. So my question this morning to each of you is, how do you respond when visited by an angel? Well, I realize most of us, I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands of how many have been visited by an angel. But the question would be, how do you respond when life's plans, when your plans, or just life in and of itself doesn't turn out the way you think it should, or there's a change of plans, or circumstances appear to just go south? How do you respond? That's a question that each of us should even just step back sometimes and just, how do I respond? What is my natural response when things like that happen? And we don't need to take time to have public confession here. Thank you. So two things. Number one, there are stories, and I'll use the word common loosely, but it's common that you would hear that we have that many people over the years that we even know about have been visited by an angel, or what would seem to be an angel, or just have a mystique that makes you wonder. But more importantly, is what your point is, TR, and that is that we would, when things that come that overwhelm us, that we would honestly cry out to God and say, God, I don't understand. Not so much why me, but and not even all kinds of questions for explanation. But God, what should my response be? Lord, help me in my unbelief. You know, help me respond according to your word. You catch that in the Psalms with David, you know, going on, you know, my enemies are about to overtake me. God, where are you? God, come near to me. And so that's exactly right. We need to be open and honest before God. And so when things come in that bring a change of plans, and there becomes just things that can overwhelm, my challenge is for you to respond. Use the example, whether it's Joseph, or whether it's Mary, or whether it's the three Hebrew young men, or whether it's Dave, you know, just the examples of even real to life people that we know, that we respond in a way that is, God, my faith just seems like non-existent right now, and yet I know your word's true, but I can't feel it, Lord. It's dark, Lord. It looks hopeless, Lord. The pain is more than I can bear, and I don't understand. But then follow David's example. It says, but God, I'll wait for you. I'll listen to your words. I'll consider these things. And Lord, not my will. Lord, I have a strong will. Would you help me with my strong will, with my stubbornness, with my pity party, you know, with whatever it is that I'm tempted to go down the wrong and respond in a wrong manner. God, I want to respond in a manner that allows for you to bring the expected end, your expected end, not my expected end. My expected end was going to be pretty darn good in my own mind. But your expected end is what I want, God. Your expected end. And God, help me to realize that even though it may not seem as good as what I want or think, God, help me to realize that you are God. I would rather you would hold it, Cindy, if you would. I've been preaching a long time, and I'm just about done, and I want to just kind of move on. But I'm sure it's really good. Okay, good. So let me just say it again. Just because things look impossible, just because things feel uncomfortable, and just because things are discouraging and seemingly hopeless, hear the word. That's what we've got. Hear the word of the Lord in the midst of that. We must hear the word of the Lord. And sometimes it requires, we can't just wait for an angel. If we get one, but we've got the word of God. Open it up and hear yourself read the word of the Lord. And don't doubt and don't give up. Don't allow doubt. Easy to say, hard to do. But the biggest thing, the biggest help that we have in the midst of doubt is listening to the promises of God and being reminded by what for what is true. And so let me read. This is how I'll conclude. I want to read the verse out of Jeremiah 29 again. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a God-expected end. But let me read the three verses following and hear more of what God expects from us. We have great expectations. It's as though our expectations are all that matter. What about God's expectations? Listen to this. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. Will you? Will you? Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will? You will seek me and find me. Will you? When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you. Where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Now, it's not always God that disrupts our plans or sends us into exile. But sometimes God leads us through paths that we would prefer not to follow, not to go that direction. So whether it's God that's leading us or whether things of life just happen, let it be true of us that we will call upon, that we'll be quick to seek the Lord and recognize that he will be found and he will hear. So let me pray with you. That be okay? Lord, our response at times is to either, if we don't say it, we think, but I expected this would happen. Or definitely didn't expect that to happen. Or we will say that. I never expected this would happen to me. But Lord, may our default response become, God, what are you expecting to happen? God, in the face of this situation, this circumstance, Lord, what are you expecting to happen? And more so, Lord, what are you expecting from me? Lord, let it be true of us that our response would be even like the three young men when asked to bow down. Their response was, even if you don't do what we expect, we will not bow down. Lord, I pray that you would remind us of your promises and that we can respond with faith and total dependence upon you. God, you expect us to seek you. You expect us to cry out to you. But you also expect us to wait for you and to put our complete hope in you. And so, Lord, I don't know what each of us are facing this morning, but I pray that we would cry out to you. We would wait for you. And that we would hope, put our hope in you. For all our hopes and fears were met that first Christmas morn. Lord, let this be a Christmas, Lord, where in the midst of spoiled plans, we remain hope-filled, faith-filled. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. And I just want to encourage you that, two things. First of all, if you don't know, if you don't have a relationship with this Jesus, not only do I encourage you, it's the easiest thing in the world. Just simply cry out to him and just say, Jesus, be my God, be my Savior. And so begins a relationship. So if, encouragement number one, if you don't know Jesus, get to know him in a simple way. And secondly, if you would like prayer, come up in the front after we dismiss. Both Jen and Barb are going to be in front to pray with you. And then I'll give you actually one more encouragement. As we go, may the light of our Savior shine bright through each of you as you allow him to do just that, even in the midst of darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.